On this Ag Perspectives podcast, pleased to have along with us the Extension Livestock Market Specialist at Oklahoma State University, Dr. Darrell Peel, talking about the cattle market as it stands right now, beef demand, exports, as well as some strategy for cow-calf operators, all coming up in this visit today with Dr. Peel. We start with the current cash cattle market.
This whole cattle market, as we've hit summertime, has been pretty doggone resilient. We obviously came off the highs of spring, but we've stayed hung in there pretty hard above $90.
I think that's exactly the case. You know, we came down fairly hard and fast and after Memorial Day, and it looked a little bit frightening in terms of how far we might go. But when this thing found a bottom, both box beef and fed cattle have been very stable. They're very much in step with each other. They're not out of a line. And so there's no reason really at this point why we can't be close to the low. You know, we've got another 3 weeks anyway when we could bounce around, maybe a month even, when we could bounce around and still put in a little bit lower low, but I don't really look for it to happen based on what we see today. I think we're going to have a real flat summer bottom rather than a sharp peak bottom that goes much lower than where we are right now.
I know the cash cattle trade of this week, the $94 we've seen in the Southern Plains, I saw a comment that we sold pretty well the full show list and we made money.
You know, there's still some money to be had. There's a little room for fed cattle to go up relative to box beef, and so it's a question of those short-run conditions. So we'll get that. I don't know that we'll be able to maintain it, although we could. But again, we're in a kind of a trading range here relative to where box beef is. Fed cattle can stay certainly in this lower half of the 90s for now, and then if our expectations follow through in the fall, we'll move, you know, box beef back up, and we'll move fed cattle back up probably into the mid to upper 90s at some point towards the end of the year.
So we could see a little strength from here for the balance of the calendar year.
The fourth quarter, typically, we look to see box beef and fed cattle both have a chance to go back up on under normal conditions, and right now there's no reason not to expect that.
Let's talk about beef demand, if we could, for a moment. What are you seeing here? We've talked before about how driven beef demand is right now, how dependent it is on economic recovery. How are you seeing all this come together at this point?
Well, you know, in the first half of the year, coming out of last year when we knew beef demand was very weak, the real question as we saw the markets, the cattle markets and beef markets rally in the spring was how much of that was demand-driven and how much was supply-driven. Given where we've stabilized now, I think the message here is it's sort of a good news, bad news thing. The bad news is I don't think beef demand is strengthening very fast. But the good news is it's not the negative it was last year. I think it's fairly neutral right now. I don't think it's getting worse, but I don't think it's, at this point, we don't have much indication that it's improving very fast. So it's not going to be the cause of us going lower at this point, but it's also going to limit how much real upside potential we can have relative to the supply situation.
Are we seeing middle meats act a little better?
Marginally, but it's pretty marginal at this point. You can still see the kind of recessionary impacts, the income impacts, if you will. You look at middle meats relative to end meats, we've had significant more strength in the end meats and on the processing meat side than we've had in the middle meat side. So that's still the limiting factor in this beef demand picture.
As we think about the other part of this overall beef demand, you know, we talk about that domestically, but internationally, that continues to be really a bright spot.
It really has been, and that's been certainly part of this better-than-expected story going all the way back to late last year, the last couple of months of 2009, and until now, export demand has continued to be a strong point. That's part of the way the cuts shape out. More of that demand is coming from the end meat side, by and large, although it's helping the middle meats a bit as well. So were it not for the export demand, I think our total demand picture would look significantly worse than it does today.
Regarding those exports, are you surprised at, you know, what's going on there as far as any particular countries or, you know, the slowness maybe of getting the Japanese moving forward? You know, what are the things that stick out in your mind from this export picture?
Well, the one, frankly, that I have my eye on the most right now is Mexico, which still continues to be our, at least on average, on an annual basis, our number one market. And that's actually one that's been relatively weak. Beef demand dropped pretty sharply, or at least beef quantity. Beef exports to Mexico dropped pretty sharply last year. We know there was a lot of substitution of some very cheap pork for beef. And so far this year, that trend has kind of continued. We really haven't seen the Mexican market recover as much. In general, in other countries, in a very broad sense, what we're seeing is that the developing countries and the emerging economies around the world are bouncing back out of this global recession faster than developed countries. And so in general, as a group, they're carrying the load a little bit. But for the U.S. specifically, Mexico is a bit of a concern for me.
Let's jump on down the chain a little bit back to our stocker guys and our cow-calf guys. We're in a stocker meeting tonight. Is this going to potentially be a good fall for stocker cattle based on the price relationships you see right now?
You know, I think at this point it has potential to offer kind of a normal situation. I don't think we're going to see it be easy in terms of margins. I think producers need to pencil pretty carefully. There's certainly some risk in those margins. At the same time, I've done some preliminary budgeting, and frankly, I'm getting questions earlier than usual this summer that I think are looking ahead to the fall, and there is some potential there. And so what a person has to do at this point is start with where the futures are and at least use that as your source of information, if not actually go lock in some sort of selling price and then work backwards to the buying side. And it's at least possible to generate sort of a normal rate of return to cattle and forage, I think, at this point. But it's going to have some volatility associated with it and some risk associated with it.
Cow-calf operator, what do you see for those folks here for the balance of this year?
Price-wise, I think we're going to continue to see fairly strong calf prices. Again, the supply side is carrying the weight, and that's where the supplies are the tightest. Our general expectations for the mid-year numbers are going to confirm that we've got a smaller calf crop again this year. So I think price-wise, we're okay. I think the trick for cow-calf producers, it goes back to managing costs and controlling those costs that they can control, be it in terms of fuel, in terms of feed cost, forage cost, and all of those things. And so I think the emphasis really needs to be on cost management at this point.
I know that in the case of our cow-calf operators, you had an article here just a few days ago talking about the fact that this is probably not the year to do retain ownership.
Well, again, those margins are somewhat suspect. I wouldn't say they can't work. Everybody needs to look at their own numbers, but the margins are tight enough that you don't want to just assume they're there. And so, you know, where we came out looking at these midsummer kind of calves, which would be typically a fall-born calf weaning right now, is that, you know, I think pretty hard about preconditioning and the potential for that to give you some returns. But beyond that, then I think you want to pencil it pretty carefully, whether you retain them as a stocker or on into the feedlot beyond that.
Preconditioning pays.
Well, on average, preconditioning pays. It's not without some risk, too, but preconditioning is getting better all the time. And so we're going to have more and more opportunity to not count on it every time, but count on it on average more than we have in the past.
Piece of advice you might give to the cow-calf guy right now?
Again, I think it's take care of the home front. Okay, I think the market's in pretty good shape. The market is going to be okay. I think you need to take care of the home front and think about not only managing costs in the short run. It's also the time for some folks to think about where you want to be 2-3 years down the road strategically in terms of some herd expansion. Big question right now. We don't see any indications of expansion, but at some point in time, I think we're going to want to think about that. And so producers need to give some thought to that ahead of time so they can position themselves for next year and the years beyond.
Extension Livestock Market Specialist Dr. Darrell Peel visiting with us as we caught up with him on Thursday, July 15, at the Oklahoma Grain and Stocker Producers Meeting in El Reno. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.